All right, it's the Hi-Fi Dream Deep Dive. We're coming out of Val Young, a song called Seduction. If you were a part, or you were alive in the 80s and you were living in the New York, New Jersey, or metro area on the East Coast, that song was pumping out of the radio on Z100, WPLJ. It was always on the air, BLS. And then it just kind of went away forever. I never hear it anymore, and it makes me sad because I love that song so much. And there's another song by her called If You Should Ever Be Lonely, which is even better than this song, if you want to believe that. And then before that was Maheed Jordan, Cyanide, but that was the Dar Disco remix, which Willis chose. So what did you think of Val Young?
I'd never heard that before, and it did sound very familiar to me, though, of, I think, an era. And because you said Rick James, then it made sense, but I wouldn't have guessed that on my own. But it makes perfect sense now. And I really like the high chorus, like she's seduction. And I can't even sing that high.
Yeah.
But it really sounded similar in range to the previous song by Maheed Jordan where they're singing, but it's guys singing.
It's great that you point that out, though, because I think that had to be something I noticed that triggered this. Had to be. Yeah.
Maybe.
It wasn't conscious decision, but it was definitely something that had to have happened because I noticed it very clearly this time through.
Yeah, but your pick was a little more funky, which I like. I like a little bit of funk.
Well, Rick James, man, he's the funk. Yeah. He's the captain of funk, and he, 80s funk at least.
Yeah, that's right.
And he obviously became more popular because of that Dave Chappelle skit. Whoa. the Chappelle Show skit. Or Rick James, which was still one of the funniest things I've ever heard. Charlie Murphy doing the celebrity stories there. But Rick James had a sound. It was specific. You think of Super Freak and you think of all those great songs he did, Mary Jane. And then, remember the Mary Jane Girls? They did a song called In My House, which to me, this sounds like. This is like...
That's true.
I'm pretty sure Val Young might have been in the Mary Jane Girls now that I'm it's all kind of coming back to me as I sit here. But it sounds the same. And they came out in the same year. So to give you an idea, I'm sure he was just writing so much music back. He was like Prince. He was just writing for other people because he couldn't possibly do it all himself. But he also did all the music on all these other albums too. So he was a workhorse. At that time.
I really like the hard-hitting bass.
Yeah.
That's cool.
It is. Really a good track. Great song to listen to. Loud.
Yes.
In the car. It's not offensive. Wish, you know, if it was made today, there would be so much compression on that beat. It wouldn't be able to breathe the way it does. But listening to that loud in a car is not taxing, but it's really like kind of euphoric sounding.
It's true. I saw a social media post last week about compression, somebody complaining about compression, exactly what you were saying. And there's a cool, I took a screenshot of the waveform comparison between, you know, the 80s and today. And it was like this solid, like you said, a solid block of wave.
It's so true, dude. It's not even a point of opinion. It is fact. It may be down to preference for sure. Some people might like that compression. That's not bad thing, but if you measure up the waves, the sound waves, and you look, it's a compressed song, doesn't have room. There's no space in that song. Everything is sucked out of it. It's almost like you ever like use a plastic bag, put food in a plastic bag, and you try and like get the air out, and it's still got a little bagginess. But if you use one of those things that takes all the air out, what do they call that?
A vacuum.
Yeah, like an air vacuum, a sealer. Mm-hmm. You notice that it like almost makes it look like a gift, like a Christmas package. It's just like so tight and so like much smaller than it originally, the shape it originally took. Right. It's the same thing with a beat. You take all that space out. And to me, it's taxing on the ears. I don't know if everybody feels that way. And I know I have damaged hearing, but I'm just kind of fed up with compression. But if it's done right, again, I still think a great beat is unparalleled. There's nothing better than a great sounding electronic beat, in my opinion.
I have a feeling there will be a movement, though, to go back to more dynamic sound
for
range.
Sure. I agree.
But it's going to take time.
I think everything will go back in cycles. I think we're going to start noticing music going back towards the 50s and 60s eventually. Minimalist kind of mindsets. I just think it takes time to get there. But we're going to move to the next segment. This is an interesting turn in the show because I'm going to be playing, after your song, the song that's probably the most inspiring thing I've heard in a couple of years. But you played a song first, I never knew this came out. I was kind of upset at myself for not knowing because I like stereo MCs, and I had no idea this even existed until today or yesterday.
I really wanted to play stereo MCs and, you know, a throwback song again, like Get Yourself Connected. What's their other hit?
Elevate My Mind was fun.
Elevate My Mind, that's right. Some really trippy songs from the 90s? Is
yes.
that when they were?
Yes.
But then I said, well, maybe there's a cool collaboration, and boom, there it was. So 2023, Rodriguez Jr. and the Stereo MCs doing the song called Turn the Light On. And so I was really surprised that they're still active, collaborating this with this collaboration. It's this fun mashup of, I feel like it's trip hop, some kind of ravey sounding samples, and some electro feel from the 80s with like the robot sounds. And I don't know, what do you think?
I liked it. I mean, I always kind of, it was an interesting sound at the time. It was very different in the mid 90s. It was right, you know, keep in mind you had like the Prodigy was coming around at this time, and Chemical Brothers and Moby. They were sort of somewhere between, as you mentioned, trip hop and like Meat Beat Manifesto, or yes. like, you know, MC 900 for Jesus. Yeah. And the electronic groups at the time. But there was a little bit of tongue in cheek and playfulness to their music that I think a lot of those other groups didn't go near. They didn't want to go near it. It was, I don't want to call it novelty, but there was definitely a more, they weren't taking themselves serious. And you could hear that with Connected, the vocal approach to it, or even Elevate My Mind. It wasn't heavy lyrically. I think it was more just supposed to be fun.
Yeah.
But they did have these really cool sounds in the music. Like the beat of Connected is so cool.
Right.
There yeah. was like this vocal sample in there.
That's right.
And then there was like, bang, 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 bang. You know, there was weird things going on.
Funky, yeah.
Little hip hop. Yeah.
Yep.
So I was really appreciative. But then I think their sound got aged. And I felt over time, people weren't as interested in hearing that sort of, I don't want to call it comical, but like, what would you call it?
It didn't really fit. It was kind of circusy, right?
Yeah.
It didn't really fit into a genre of the time. So it was unique and different, but maybe not standing on its own as a category.
I think that's a way to look at it that kind of puts my thoughts together, because I really believe there's something about it that it didn't allow it to last longer. And right. then they did put out music after, and I don't know if it was any good. I'm not sure if it was any good, but I'm kind of sad that I lost track. But this came out last year, and I still believe it captures the same spirit that happened, what was that, 30 years before?
Mm-hmm.
Nearly 30 years. I think they came out in 93 or 92 originally. So, yeah. I mean, this is a really cool song, but I don't know who Rodriguez Jr. is. I have no idea. I was going to ask you if you knew.
No.
Okay. The song is called Turn the Lights On, but it's cool. It's very different. And you played back in the day on this show, Meat Beat Manifesto, Circles. I think that's probably the closest companion to this song. It kind of feels like that era of 90s trip-hop, hip-hop, kind of pop. I don't know.
It's a mashup for sure.
Yeah. And then the song after it, for anyone who's an electronic music fan, especially that was born in the 90s, you know, thinking of Trainspotting and such, the group Underworld, most known for Born Slippy, which was in Trainspotting, but they are legends. They were probably the most influential group of Minus Chris, my original group, because Ben, who made the beats in that group, this was his favorite group, was along with Massive Attack. So that a big part of my musical journey. And I've always been inspired by them. And this is the song, believe it or not, for me, that has finally sort of unlocked my creative spirit again. And I'm like, I'm ready to go and record something very soon. I listened to this album, the whole album, and it's long, for probably 6 hours this weekend overall, maybe.
Wow.
I just kept going back and back and back because I was so into it. But this is the best song on the new Underworld record. That's my opinion, of course. So it'll be the Rodriguez Jr. and Stereo MCs, Turn the Lights On, followed by Underworld, Lewis and Pomona. That's the name of the song. And I can't wait to hear your thoughts on this when we come back.
All right.
Ready to roll?
Yep.
Let's do it.
Turn the light on in your mind and free yourself. We are made of electricity.
Turn the light on. I feel the wind on my skin and it feels good. Happy, clean, like tomorrow is already better and today is good.
Was Underworld, and it makes me so excited to say that on this show. This is the Hi-Fi Dream Deep Dive. The song is called Lewis in Pomona. We were talking off air, Willis and I, that that's a title that might not invite many people who are like, I'm curious about this song because it's so specific. But the song is amazing. Before that was Turn the Lights On by Stereo MCs with Rodriguez Jr., which, like I said, every time I listen to that song now, I like it a little bit more, and it's only been three or four times, so I'm feeling what you chose there a lot. And I have to say, I'm super excited to kind of now see what happens with that after a few more listens, because it's excellent.
It was not a hard pivot, too, to go from the Turn the Light On with the kind of 90s rave samples to the Underworld. Whoever Lewis is and what he was doing in Pomona, that was some crazy hard-hitting techno there.
It brought us back for us, right? It brings us back to our rave days.
It did. And especially there's this kind of the first half, which is nice, clean house sound, but very inviting, you know, like you're saying, like walking up to the rave at night and what's going to happen. And then the second half, it's just like, it's like the late hour, and this, the beat gets all squashy, like, and it's like really trying to just, I don't know, it's, I can't even describe it. It's a squash. I get squashed.
It's squash. I think that's a good word. Good adjective.
But the you mentioned this whole album. You kind of listened to the whole thing. And so I had to peruse the rest of the songs in the album just to see what this was about. And just on like listening to a little clip of each song, I could tell that it's meant to be listened from beginning to end. It's like this epic tale. Very cinematic. I feel like the mood swings from song to song, and they, you know, go from lyrics to no lyrics, and then there's even some a cappella song, and so it's a very, some kind of epic tale, and it feels like it can follow a movie, or a movie could make a soundtrack. This would fit, be a soundtrack to a movie.
You're right.
I don't know if that's how you felt.
I do, and it's there's so many different changes in direction where the song, you think you have it figured out and it's kind of following a path, and then all of a sudden it really takes an abrupt turn. The first track on the album, Black Poppies, doesn't have any beat in it, and it's very songy for them. It's more of a song. And then it goes into a very techno-y direction for a first couple of tracks.
Yeah.
But then it has these twists and turns, very cinematic, like you said, which I've always liked about their music. It's, to me, it's heady. I say the word heady a lot. I mean, like, you really can get into parts, listening to layers that are happening in there. It's not one-dimensional. There's so many elements to it. But what really is special about Underworld, and particularly I'll focus on this track since everybody heard it, is that it's, we talk about raves a lot back in the 90s because they were different than raves now. I know raves still kind of capture that same spirit that it happened for us, for 20-year-olds or 25-year-olds now. It was the same for us back then. But there's something specific about, for me, going to a club or a rave where the different periods of the night. So, earlier on, it might be not quite as heavy or deep. It might be even a little bit more popular songs you might hear. And then as the night goes on, it goes down different paths. Maybe a different DJ jumps in. But I used to like this particular period of the night where I would go, the places I would go, between like 2 a.m. and 4 a.m., where it sort of was like trancey. It wasn't like the heaviest hitting songs, which I feel like happened between 12 and 2 a.m. And then you would get this period of like reprieve. And it was more like you were kind of like, floating in the clouds a little bit in your head. And I'm not talking about anything with substance. I'm talking about just sort of like your own mental journey through the night. Because the music's so loud, you really can't talk. So you're sort of in your head creating this scene. And for me, this song fits into that 2 to 4 a.m. period of time where I was most comfortable with what was playing. These are my songs, sort of. And it was a flashback for me, man. I really, really love this song. I love the whole album. And I can't wait to spend more time with it. When I'm like so familiar with the songs that I could specifically point to parts and whatnot, I'm not there yet. So I hope you enjoyed it. I definitely thought you would.
Yeah, and actually you made me think about now my rave experience is a little bit different but similar in structure, in that the beginning of the rave, when you get there, you have to warm up. Something needs to pull you onto the dance floor.
Yeah.
And you're still getting the vibe of the place, seeing where the empty space is, too crowded here or too smoky there, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
But then if the DJ plays something a little bit more popular, something that gets you moving, then it gets you loose and you start moving. But then around that 12 to 2 a.m. or 2 to 4 is when you've been dancing and you're actually like, for me, I'm the lowest in energy at that point because I've already spent like a lot of energy dancing. And, I'm there, I'm on the floor the whole time. That was my thing. And so by 2 to 4 a.m., I'm tired. And when the DJ plays something hard-hitting like this song, that gives you that extra boost of energy for me. And then from 5 to 7, when you're really kind of exhausted, but you're feeling like, wow, I just went the whole night dancing, and the sun, I can see the sun coming through the windows in the warehouse right now. That's a different style of music, right? There's that more, way more refractive, reflective, open, airy sounding type of dance songs that they might play.
Yes.
That's how it was for me.
And it's cool to hear it from your perspective because it's different for everybody. Yeah. We also, where we would go in like the Limelight, New York City, there were different rooms. So like one floor was like straight up like house music. One floor was like techno rave or like trance. Some of them would be like a trip hop down tempo room. So it depended on where you went.
Right.
And if you were in a certain headspace and you needed to get away from the thumping bass, you can go into more down-tempo rooms where they play Portishead or Massive Attack. It was just so cool for me. And I wish I could go back to those moments, but I'm sure if they offered me a doorway to it right now, I'd be like, you know what? I'll pass. I'm going to chill here. But it's just this weird thing that's like you wish you could almost access it and sort of smell it and taste it and hear it one more time.
There is a brand new documentary on streaming right now called Behind the Beats.
Okay.
And I have yet to see it, but there are many people that I know who were in it because it documents the rave scene in San Francisco.
Oh, wow. I got to check this out.
Yeah. And many of the big DJs of my era of the 90s, when I went, are featured in it. And there's one DJ who still DJs today. His name is Harry Hu.
I know who that is. Yeah.
Yeah. So he's in it too. I'm very interested in watching it. It just came out.
I gotta check it out. Do you know where it's on?
I think it's on all the platforms. Actually.
Okay. All of them.
Apple for sure.
Okay. Behind the Beats.
It's a movie. Yeah.
I'll check it out. I definitely gotta see that.
Yeah.
Right up my alley. We have one more set of music left. I'm going to keep this break a little shorter because I know we're a little tighter on time because we have played longer songs tonight. These next two, not so much, but these aren't long. These are very, I feel like we kind of bring it to this sort of a little bit more onto the path of the station, a little more of a poppier sound here. However, neither of these two songs were like popular by any stretch of the imagination. So Savoir Adore is your choice. Heaven. Tell me about this.
So I had never heard Savoir Adore, but I love the name. I adore the name. I stumbled across this as it was a collaboration with them and a band called RAC, which I also don't know.
Yeah, I know who that is.
But that's it was kind of a dancey collaboration. But it was obvious that the vocals were coming from Savoir Adore. And so I followed the thread a little bit further down to listen to more Savoir Adore, and I really like their sound. To me, they sound a lot like, it's a duo, and they're kind of dreamy, in the dreamy vocals area. So very straightforward drum machine track, this one called Heaven, but nice jangly guitars, and they remind me of Cannons or New Constellations, you know, those type of bands.
Definitely, I agree with that.
And I think their sound on their own is a little bit more eclectic sounding than just straight electronic, which I think is RAC's flavor.
RAC definitely is electronic. And although he has remixed many indie rock groups like Peter Bjorn and John and groups like that are definitely more indie rock. So he has a way of kind of bringing the dance sound into the rock sound and making it sound uniform. Matter of fact, I feel like he is one of the experts at that.
Oh, okay.
He's also done a lot of work with the DFA Records. It kind of comes right back around to that as well.
Ah.
I never heard this song before today. And it goes back, 8 years, I think? Yeah, 8 years. Yeah. I never even heard it. So I'm not sure how popular it was or is. But for some people, it might be a completely new find. It was for me.
I think if you like Cannons or New Constellations, this would be right up the alley.
Yeah, there's a dream pop element to it for sure. I think you mentioned like synth pop. I think it is that.
Yeah.
To me, it feels like one of those songs that could have been very, very popular. I'm not sure if it's one of their more popular songs, but I feel like it should have been based on the time it came out, especially.
Yeah, I'm not sure. I'm not super familiar with the band, but I definitely am going to listen to more of them.
The song that follows it is a group called Kid Savant. They were supposed to be the next big thing at the time in 2011. I got an EP at the station at the time, and we were doing Salt. Save Alternative. Or at that time, it was Shore Alternative. I was on the East Coast, so it was the Salt was a little bit different, but same concept.
Oh, the Jersey Shore.
Yeah, so we did Shore Alternative there. Save Alternative was here when we launched it. But what happened with this song is it was everybody who heard it really liked it. It was like one of those tracks where it felt like it was just going to be a big hit, and it never picked up any steam whatsoever. I still have a very good friend of mine who I don't talk to as often as I should, Chris Brown. He lives on the Jersey Shore still. He was a kind of a weird, interesting, eclectic music listener. He liked a lot of classic rock and hippie music from the 60s and 70s, but really liked a lot of newer electronic music. But he was one of the people that I feel like for years and years after this came out, he would always text me and be like, I still think this song should have been a big hit. And I've always felt that way, but I don't know many people who even have heard of this group or this song, and it's a shame because it's not like it's some game-changing, like, you know, one-of-a-kind song. It could sound like a lot of different things. But when I think of groups like The Killers or Kings of Leon and these groups that got very popular, even Coldplay, then I think, like, this song, if it was released by one of those kind of groups, it would have been a hit. But nobody knew who they were, and it was a little too poppy for 2011 at that time. And I think that's what kind of hurt it. It didn't stand out from a lot of the other songs at the time, but now as I listen back, I'm like, it's still, to me, a great pop song. And I'm so excited to play it and see what you think.
I think I might have put this a little bit earlier, back in the 90s, like a Britpop sound.
Okay.
It feels a little bit like that to me, but with a swing beat, like a swing rock step beat, and a little bit of this subtle electronic elements that differentiate it from Britpop, but also a very unique like vocal affectation, or, you know, I can't even just, better word for it, but the voice is not like standard.
Like crooner. He's almost like, oh, let the moon do Christmas. Yeah. There's like that Elvis Presleyism.
So I wonder, it probably would have been a hit if it was released 10 years earlier.
Probably right. It definitely has a 90s sound. But that beat you mentioned, it's like, it almost like, it kind of feels like you're like accelerating into the drum fills.
Right.
Like, everything seems to has like a push to the next measure of the song. I love the rhythmic sound. I really like the chorus of the song the most.
Okay.
And in the lyric of the chorus is like, sometimes feels good to cover my eyes, even though you're not around. And there's sort of this, sometimes you're making so much noise, even though I'm not allowed. There's a really interesting lyric that's kind of hidden in the chorus. I love it. And I get chills from just the chorus. But the verses have like these like little spacey, trippy sounds that kind of, it like the guitars and everything peel away, and it's just like a drum and then these samples that kind of like that just sort of float through your head.
Yeah.
Almost like they're not there for everybody else in that way.
I like how you said that this, you've been holding this one in your pocket for a while now. Like, it's like we're playing a game of marbles. Greg's got like this awesome shooter marble in his pocket. He's like, okay, I'm ready. Now I've been waiting to use this one.
I didn't know what you meant by the marbles analogy. Now I know. You wrote that. I'm like, what did I say something about marbles? Am I writing here?
I mean, I think about it like, you know, we're going song for song here. And you're like, okay, I got a good one for you.
I got to roll this marble, the speed marble.
There it is.
Yeah, it's funny because I didn't know what you were referencing on our Google document. Now I know. Yeah, this is my best marble.
There we go.
All the marbles come out right now in our last set. Savoir Adore, Heaven. That's Willis's pick. You're going to love that track. Followed by, I would think, like a forgotten classic that never was a classic. Kids Savant, 4 Years. These are the last two tracks on the show. Great job today, man.
Deep Dive 56 is in the can.
It's in the can. And next week, it'll be a totally different experience. That's what makes this show fun. It's never going to be predictable. And hopefully you discovered some gems that you can now go save to your YouTube or your Spotify or your Apple Music, whatever. Find one or two. That's really, then we've done our job, right, Willis?
That's right. And we'll put the whole list of these songs on thespec.com/playlists.
Thank you as always, brother.
All right, thank you.
We'll see you all back here next week for the Hi-Fi Dream Deep Dive.
So what? You're listening to The Deep Dive on Hi-Fi Dream.
Let loose and forget.